This is I Choose Life News and Views, sponsored by Indiana Right to Life and Right to Life of Northeast Indiana, committed to defending innocent human life for all people of all ages. Your hosts are Kathy Humbarger, Abigail Lorenzen, and Scott Kump.
Welcome to I Choose Life News and Views. I'm Kathy Humbarger.
I'm Abigail Lorenzen.
And I'm Scott Kump. I Choose Life News and Views is produced by Bot Radio Network in Fort Wayne in cooperation with Indiana Right to Life as well as Right to Life of Northeast Indiana.
And now, the pro-life news.
On Wednesday, September 23rd, President Trump announced that he will sign an executive order to provide medical care for any baby who survives an abortion attempt and is born alive. This after the pro-abortion majority in the U.S. House of Representatives has, more than 80 times, rejected congressional efforts to protect such children. As of this recording, it is unclear when the executive order will be signed, and the text of the order has not yet been released publicly, but it is expected to be similar to the Born Alive Infant Protection Act that keeps getting blocked in Congress.
We have a returning guest, Anna Crawford, with us. She's been doing a couple of interviews with us lately. And in fact, this is interview number 4. So if you missed 1, 2, or 3, you can find those at ichooselife.org underneath the radio tab. But dealing mostly with the topic of miscarriage, though today we have a little bit of a lighter note. We're going to be discussing just some ideas about when to announce pregnancy. So our culture has a very strong opinion about this these days. And I think a lot of people follow it just because that's maybe what their doctor recommended or what's commonly done. So we want to present a little maybe food for thought about why you might want to announce at a different time than what our culture typically does right now. So Anna, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you.
For those of you who maybe didn't catch Anna's earlier interviews, she has a blog called Lost Innocence, as in the noun innocent and then plural. So Lost Innocence, people have been lost. And that blog, if you want to look it up, is lostinnocenceblog.wordpress.com. And it's a blog that centers around miscarriage, and in particular, the nitty-gritties of miscarriage that people need to know when it's happening. So what are your options? If your doctor is telling you you need to do this, is that really the case? Or might there be other ways to handle a miscarriage? If you're miscarrying at home, what do you need? What's helpful to have? If you want to be able to preserve your baby for a couple of days so that your family members can meet them before you bury them, how might you do that? What are some easy, you know, have around the household kinds of things that'll help that process? So I think, Anna, your blog is probably the only one out there that really covers this stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't find that information myself when I was miscarrying the first time. So in the aftermath, I decided that was something that was definitely a need that needed to be filled.
And this is, I feel like, so typical in the Christian world, because God tends to work this way, that he puts something in your life and then you realize, oh my goodness, there's nothing to help people who are going through this situation. And so the people who have been through that situation then go and create the resources or the help or the comfort that people need when they're going through that same situation.
Mm-hmm.
So really appreciate that you have sat down to build this blog, and you have not only resources and articles and like, here's how to do it and here's what you need and that kind of a thing when you're miscarrying in the moment, but you also have gathered pictures of miscarried babies. And like, this is what you're looking at, not the textbook, not the in the doctor's office, you know, nicely laid out, you can see all the fingers and toes baby pictures necessarily, but like, I just miscarried at home and here's a picture of my baby kind of pictures. I think that's a really unique piece of your blog.
Right, because if you're having a miscarriage, you're not going to have a textbook suddenly appear in front of you. So,
Right. Yeah,
it's much more real life.
Yeah, so let's talk a bit about a piece that we didn't get to in our other interviews, and that is the idea of when to announce that you're pregnant. And we realize going into this that that's kind of a sensitive topic. You know, a lot of times I feel like with pregnancy, there's a lot of pressure from the family. Either your family was really wanting you to get pregnant, or you think they're going to be pleasantly surprised, or maybe your family was putting pressure on you to not be pregnant. I've had more than a couple of friends tell me that their families were like, now do not get pregnant in the next 3 years after you get married, and almost put it as a decree on them. And then they did get pregnant because they wanted to. And sometimes it's not even up to us when we get pregnant. A lot of times it's not up to us when we get pregnant. And so then telling people, your family or your friends, or select people inside those groups, there's a lot of decision-making that goes into that. But what Anna and I have seen and what we want to address today is not so much those smaller, nuanced relationships, because those are definitely so person-to-person that I don't know that how much light we could really shed on those particular ones. But the culture today seems to have this rule that you should not announce that you're pregnant until you've passed the 8-week or 12-week mark. So that's what we want to delve in today. And Anna, I will let you take it from here.
Okay. I mean, as you said, this is something that's really common. And it's so common that it's sort of, it's just an assumption. It's not even discussed. It's not. And if you asked people, why are you going to wait until 12 weeks or 3 months, you know, which is first trimester thereabouts, the answer is usually, well, sometimes it's like, well, that's kind of what you do, which is true. That is what people do. But why? They say, well, in case something happens, something meaning we miscarry, you know, the baby dies, something that you don't want to actually say so you don't jinx yourself is kind of how people think about it.
Right.
You know, don't believe in jinxing, but, you know, that's how people think about it. So they would say that. And I guess if you follow that to the logical conclusion, then that would mean that, so if you wait that long, and if at 9 weeks you find out the baby has died, that sort of implies that you're planning to keep it a secret. You're not going to tell, like, we will only tell them if we make it to 12 weeks. And before that, then it's just going to be a secret, which in a practical sense, this doesn't work out well for people who have a very hard time during the first trimester, because it becomes really obvious to anyone around you that, oh, I think you must be pregnant, since you're running to the bathroom and throwing up every few minutes. But it's not only just practically kind of inconvenient, but if you think about it, it's like, so if you're going to keep it a secret, why are you keeping it a secret? Is it because of shame? Is it because you just feel like that would be too private? Why is that? And if you think about it, it's like, well, if you do miscarry, haven't you just made it really hard on yourself, because no one knew you were pregnant and now you have no support? And it's a lot harder to tell people, well, I was pregnant, but I've miscarried, than it is to tell people who you told you were pregnant 3 weeks ago to tell them, I just found out I lost the baby. You know, you got to think about it. But I think, again, this is just an assumption, and people do not think this all the way through with what this means, because they'll say, well, just in case. And of course, they're thinking, well, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
That's what everyone thinks.
Right.
Assume it will all go well. But again, if that does happen, and it happens, their guess is that up to 25% of pregnancies are lost. A lot of them before people knew they were pregnant, but still quite a number well after that. And so you're talking about a lot of people who've suddenly made their lives a whole lot harder. And there's that implication. Then there's also, of course, what we have talked about in a previous interview about, if you delay announcing and then you plan to, like, keep it a secret, it sort of gives everyone this cloudy idea that the baby's not real until you start the second trimester, which makes the first trimester babies seem like they're not important, not really a baby. It kind of feeds into that very unconsciously, because I doubt anyone is really like, oh, that's the point I'm trying to make. I can't imagine that people are really thinking. But of course, that is sort of a subconscious thread way up under there that I think it feeds that idea that people who are pro-abortion would really like us all to believe that, oh, it's not really a baby. And it unconsciously sort of feeds that, where we're not even thinking about. Of course, the unconscious thing is the most dangerous, because if you see it, then you can,
right,
you know, correct it. If you don't see it, then it's influencing you and you don't know it.
Yeah. So let's put a little anecdote to this. For people who are listening who have been through this, and they don't need an anecdote because they have their own and maybe are seeing this very clearly. But, you know, for other people who maybe haven't been through this before, we had a family friend. And one day I was talking to my mom and she said this, and I'll change her name, Sarah, just so we have a name. Sarah miscarried. And I said, oh my goodness, I didn't even know she was pregnant. And mom said, none of us did. And I just sort of sat there and I was like, well, now what do I do? Like, do I call her? Do I send them flowers? If she kept it a secret from us, does she want this baby to be acknowledged? So it sort of put anybody who wants to give support in this weird situation where that's you want to be respectful of the mom and you're not sure what she needs. Now, in reality, I should have just called her up and said, hi, Sarah. I heard the news that you lost a baby. What do you need? What can I do to help? And that would have been a great response, but I was
retrospective 2020,
right? So. Exactly. But I was kind of in this timid place. And for Sarah as the mom, you know, again, I think she waited. A lot of doctors, I think still will straight up tell you, and I wouldn't suggest telling a lot of people until after the first trimester, because the risk of miscarriage is so high, which I think is poor advice.
Of course,
in Sarah's situation, what happened then is that she did lose all the support that she could have had, not only after baby was lost, but beforehand. You know, the sooner you tell people, the sooner they're praying for you. I know my parents, they very faithfully keep a prayer list, and always on it, always at the top of the prayer list, are all the moms carrying babies. And right now, I think they have 9 moms carrying babies at the top of their prayer list. And so
I've got some on my list right now.
Yeah, I think that's probably fairly common, because we know these people are so precious and these moms have such an important job right now that as much prayer as we can give them to support them in that is really important. And so for Sarah, she wasn't on our family's prayer list. Now, does that mean God, you know, was ignoring her?
No,
of course not.
Right.
But we love to lift each other up in prayer and have that net around each other. And so for Sarah, it was really sad. And then two, I mean, you pointed this out, and this happened exactly with Sarah. Now, instead of her mom announcing good news to my mom, they're announcing sad news that, well, we had a baby, but they're lost. Right. And it's out of the blue. You know, we all know that there's a chance of miscarriage in a pregnancy. We know there's a chance of disease or abnormalities or preterm births that then baby doesn't survive. We know there's a chance of that. And so I think that when we announce pregnancies, that sort of worry is kind of always underlying in everybody's head, which is exactly why we pray for each other.
Right.
And so I think there isn't a need to wait because of that, quote, in case clause, because we all know that that's there anyways. And so at least we have some good news. We'll celebrate with
happen.
You. Exactly. Right. That's true too, right? We're not going to jinx each other by, you know, telling each other we're pregnant. So yeah, there's kind of an anecdote to maybe make it a little more concrete. I want to point out another happier scenario. And this was, again, with another friend. She became pregnant and then was seeing her family at a major holiday that was coming up. So the family that was spread out across the nation was all going to be together. And she thought, oh, well, I'll wait. And then I can tell them all together when we're all together at the same time.
Right.
Well, it was towards the end of her first trimester, just by happen chance, it was a long wait. Mm-hmm. And she told me afterwards, I mean, it was a while after this baby had been born. She said, you know, next time I get pregnant, I'm going to tell everybody right away. Because waiting was so hard. When she was talking to her family over the phone, she couldn't say anything. She had morning sickness and she couldn't say anything.
Oh, right. So you have no support when you're, you know, really physically needed. I keep saying, you're making it so much harder on yourself. And even if you're keeping it secret, you know, so that you can enjoy surprising everybody, which is a very understandable thing, and I can definitely see that happening. But if that gathering is significantly off in the future, you might want to rethink that. That's just difficult. But I can certainly see the attraction of it. And people have different reasons for waiting. I will say, in my case, I actually, and this is before the days of social media, and we had moved across the country, literally to Washington from all of my family. So I wasn't seeing any of them. And we had one of my sisters had problems with infertility. Ultimately, they adopted 4 children, but she was having problems with infertility and they'd been trying to have a baby for years. And I had found out I was pregnant with my 4th and hadn't had any miscarriages at this point. And they were stair step. I mean, you know, just one right after another. And I knew that at this point, she was really struggling. And I thought, I can't bring myself to add to her pain, which I know she would be happy for me, but I know it would be agony. I mean, I could, I'm not stupid. You know, I knew that. And I literally waited. And plus, my family in general was not real happy about us having so many children one way after another.
Anyway, which we could talk about that topic too, but we'll keep going.
Different. So I literally waited until my husband said, you can't call them from the delivery room to tell them you're pregnant and the baby's here, which, you know, I said, I know, I just don't want to do it. He said, you're just going to have to. So I literally went and prayed for like an hour and then called her personally before I told anybody else. Suffice it to say, I tried to be as gentle and careful as possible, but I was literally 7 months pregnant when I called. I mean, I waited that long. Now, people in my actual vicinity knew.
Sure.
But they had no contact with my family. This was a complete, you know. So, yes, sometimes there are very altruistic reasons for waiting that long. And it's understandable. But I think we're really addressing more of the wait because something might happen sort of reason.
Right. This kind of clouded, scared kind of a feel that's pushed by the culture these days. If you're joining us here partway through the program at I Choose Life News and Views, this is Abigail, and with us is Anna Crawford, and we are kind of finishing up our overarching topic of miscarriage, but now today talking about pregnancy announcements and the timing of those, because so often these days our culture tells you, you gotta wait until the end of the first trimester in case something happens. So you brought up two things in there, Anna, that I want to chase after, and the first one is social media. Because that makes everything a whole different ballgame. And the second one...
It's really a different world now.
Yeah. The second one is this idea of how to tell people who are experiencing infertility.
Right. So let's, or losses.
Right. Yeah, or losses. Exactly. So let's do social media first. Social media is a bear. The nice thing, though, about pregnancy is that from pictures, unless you post a picture of you like throwing up every morning... Pictures are not going to tell everybody on Facebook or Instagram or wherever you're at, TikTok, that you're pregnant, at least for a while.
For a while.
For a while.
If you're careful.
If you're careful. So with my first one, my mother-in-law almost posted a picture of me at Halloween with one of those shirts that's skeleton, and then it has the baby skeleton in the tummy.
Skeleton.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then I was like, oh no, you can't post that. Nobody knows yet. Besides you know, the people in my everyday life. Right. So at any rate, Facebook, if you're careful, you can keep it a secret for a while. And I personally do that. And I get that because that's a little bit of a different ball game, I think.
Right. The public is one thing. Family and friends and fellow parishioners.
Right.
That is really more of your inner circle. The people who would pray for you. Those are the people you really kind of, you know. And if you wait for several months to sort of put it on social media, I think that's perfectly fine. I mean, people have different levels of comfort with privacy and things. I think that's great.
And like for us, you know, my husband and I, we waited for quite a while to put it up on Facebook, and then we put an ultrasound with it. And that's kind of fun too, especially from a pro-life perspective, to be able to put an ultrasound up and say like, we're mommy and daddy now, which I think was really nice messaging to be able to put out into a kind of a pro-choice world. Mm-hmm. And then include an ultrasound so that people can really see the humanity of this pre-born baby. And two, you know, again, we're talking about, well, we're going to wait to tell people in case. In the world of social media, and I've had friends who have done this, they haven't announced on social media that they're pregnant, and then they do miscarry. And then after a while, you know, after some of the grieving process has been gone through and they're to a point, I think it's actually part of their healing process or has been part of their healing process to go onto their social media and write up a nice little post that says, we didn't tell everybody in social media, but we were pregnant and we lost the baby. And so the baby's due date should have been this. And then there is an ability for the Facebook world or, you know, whatever world you're in to come and comment and say, I'm so sorry, you know. And there is a nice way to do that. And it can be in part of your own grieving process.
I did that with my fourth miscarriage.
Oh.
Because it was really very early. I was literally just like 6 weeks. And we suspected something was wrong from very early on. And so I just thought, you know, I had already put the children through so much. I thought, let me just hold off because they're still grieving the third miscarriage. So, and I did. I actually did that. I went on my blog a few months later and said, well, I didn't talk about it at the time, but because I was in a frame of mind that I could do it or wasn't at the time.
And so it's serving towards the healing of the family, not towards this cultural bias or standard of like when you need to do things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really important. So then the second piece that I mentioned that I wanted to talk about is this idea of how to announce to people who have been experiencing loss themselves, whether infertility, and so a loss of any chance or maybe a loss of hope at the moment, or who have just recently miscarried themselves or, you know, had a stillbirth or lost an infant or, you know, or anything.
Anything like that.
Yeah. Again, with my first, Ruth, I did have a friend at the time who was experiencing not only a miscarriage, but then further infertility. And so I spent a long time, like you did with your sister, I spent a long time thinking about how do I do this? Because I did want to tell everybody right away. And so it was like, okay, I need to tackle this right away because she was in my inner circle. So there was no like keeping a secret.
Yeah, you couldn't do what I did.
No. And heaven forbid she finds out through the grapevine. That's even more hurtful.
That's why I called my sister first.
Yeah, exactly.
Before I even told my parents.
Yeah. So, and I think she told me that she appreciated the way I did it. So I'll share the way I did it because it seems to work fairly well. And again, I think it's a different person to person and relationship to relationship. But I just asked her one day if she wanted to go on a walk and then just told her kind of outright. I didn't beat around the bush or mince words or anything. I just said, you know, I wanted to let you know first that we're pregnant. And I just left it there because there's not a lot you need to say around that. Like we're pregnant and we're excited or, you know, there's no extra explanation that needs to be added. And her reaction, she did actually do a really nice job of kind of affirming me in the moment, which I didn't need. Like it would have been fine without it, but I did appreciate her effort to be a supportive friend. And she was, oh, that's really exciting. And then we kind of moved on and talked about other things. And then I think it was probably a couple of weeks later that she said, you know, I appreciate how you did that. So definitely, again, some of these things are going to be a bit nuanced person to person, but telling them one-on-one and telling them sooner rather than later so that they don't find out from anybody else or find out by accident, I think is really important.
Oh, yeah. And we know, as we've talked about in previous interviews, when you've miscarried, one of the things that's really hard to deal with is other pregnancy announcements.
Right.
Catching you off guard. And it's the catching you off guard part, because when you're sort of braced or you're not in a crowd with people watching you,
right,
you can allow yourself to, you know, experience the inevitable emotions that are going to come with that. And I have, when I have previously told friends who had either just miscarried recently or who were experiencing infertility, when I told them I was pregnant, I did it individually, you know, and I said, I wanted to let you know that I'm pregnant. I'm about this far along. And I also want to let you know that I'm not expecting you to jump up and down,
right,
because I understand that even though I'm sure you are happy for me, that this is also very painful.
Right.
You know, I can understand that. And I've also told them, if you need to take a break from talking to me or being around me for a while, I understand and I will not hold it against you. Because I'm still supporting you, but I understand that my presence might, you know, cause you some additional pain, and I don't want to do that. So I'm going to let you take the lead here,
right,
on what's best for you. And I've done that, and that has worked. That has been successful. Because I actually, right after I'd had two miscarriages in a row, one of my other sisters called me to say that she was expecting twins.
Oh, my goodness.
And she told me personally, and she also told me she understood that it might hurt to hear it. And she understood, and she wasn't expecting me to throw confetti in the air or something like that. So that was, you know, I've been on the receiving end of that too. And that was also very helpful. I found just to have it laid on the line. Look, I don't expect you to be really exuberant, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. Right. So the person has permission to experience sadness you know, for themselves.
We've been talking about when to announce, but I'm going to back it up one thing further and say, our culture doesn't do this, but we might think about, as a society, talking about more of like before we actually achieve a pregnancy. So are you trying to become pregnant and having trouble? You might actually talk about that with the closest people in your lives, because again, then they can pray for you. But we also, we can only be gentle in our announcements
If we know.
Exactly. Because how sad would it be on for both people involved if my friend hadn't told me that that was her situation? And then I came into the office and announced it all together and people are so excited and my office staff is so sweet and they threw me a baby shower. And so like, if all that was going on and my friend was just sitting there suffering the whole time and feeling like she had to put on a face for that.
Of course.
And so,
and then you find out later that that was the case and you feel wretched.
Right. I mean, you feel horrible.
You never, ever would have done it. It's not good all the way around. Yeah. I agree that infertility is actually still, you know, this sort of this culture of secrecy about miscarriage. Infertility is, you know, that's getting better, but infertility is still kind of lagging behind.
Yeah.
And that is something that people tend not to share and they just suffer silently. And that's very unfortunate. Yeah. I don't think that should be the case.
And again, for both infertility and losses, these aren't the mom's or the dad's fault.
No.
And so the shame is misplaced. There isn't shame in miscarriage. There's loss and there's grief, but there's no shame. And the same thing in infertility. There's no shame there. God opens and closes the womb, you know? And so to keep it hidden away, tucked away. Now, sometimes maybe that's just your comfort level and you don't want to tell anybody, and that's fine. Not saying that you have to, but hiding it because there's a feeling of shame attached to it, I would love to expose that to the light and to say, you don't need to feel shame about that. And the more people you tell about it in your inner circle, the more people can pray for you or support you or ask you every once in a while, you know, how are you doing? Or be aware of situations that are hard for you.
Right.
Exactly. Be sensitive. Right. Yeah. Well, we're coming up on the end of this interview, Anna, and I've, again, appreciated the three prior interviews and this one as well. Number four, I think that's a record for me and a guest four interviews. So way to go. We're making history here.
I'm really happy that there has been so much progress made from the time that I had my first miscarriage, spring of 2011, up to now. Things are really different. I'm happy to think that I, you know, may have a tiny part in that.
Yeah, of course.
But I definitely want to encourage people that this doesn't need to be a secret, and it definitely doesn't need to be anything, any cause of shame, as we said, any of this, infertility, miscarriage, you know, infant loss, none of it. And we do need to hold each other up.
Definitely. Well, Anna, again, thanks for joining us. If you want to check out Anna's blog, it's Lost Innocence,
INNOCENTS.
Thank you. I'm bad at spelling in general. And then I was looking at this, trying to make sure I had it spelled right. Blog.wordpress.com. So thanks so much, Anna.
Thank you.
Yeah. And best wishes to everyone who is listening and is expecting or is struggling with infertility or loss. We'll hold you up in our prayers.
You've been listening to I Choose Life News and Views. If you have questions about this program or if you'd like to support the fight for life, please call 260-471-1849 or go to ichooselife.org, because without the right to life, no other rights matter.